is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And with me, Dr. Dinosaur Archer. I'm back, everybody, after quite a hiatus. Of course, you guys have known I was on maternity leave, so I spend most of my co-parents pregnant. But I'm back. We've got exciting new shows that are going to be on Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. And so welcome back to Guardian Radio with us on The Doctor Is In. Tonight, we have a very interesting panel of doctors. We've been looking at COVID and dealing with it for this entire time. You know, and we need to have some more voices out there, the voices of physicians who are seeing what's happening on the ground, working through this and some different perspectives. About this entire time, we've kind of had particular views, and there's a lot of stuff that we haven't really touched on. There's so many things people are doing alternatively, healthy, keep up their immune system, and giving people alternatives to what is always in the mainstream. And so as physicians, we always seek truth. And so we want to hear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, right? And so we have to hear all of our physician voices, all of our doctors, all of our different scientists, and, you know, around the world. And I think people are coming out more and more to give different points of views. This was something that we have never experienced before. And so, you know, there was some trial and error in there as well. So we've learned some lessons. And I think people are going to want to hear other voices at this point in time. So I want to thank all the people that I see who have joined us online. We see you there. And you stay involved and let me know if the sound is okay there. And of course, all those who are on the radio with us now, we're going to take some calls later. So I'll put out the numbers because we want you to get involved, ask a few questions if you have some concerns. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And we'll probably even post the recording of this later on so that everyone can listen back in. We want to thank our sponsor, of course, Medical Concierge Services. Right there in Palmdale. You can see me there as well. So for all your family medicine needs, Medical Concierge Services, 326-1521 or our WhatsApp line, 429-4880. And we're still enrolling people for NHI. So if you want to get on board with that, you're welcome to come and do that. So we've got a great panel of guests tonight. We've got, they're coming and going. So you guys put on your video. We've got at least 1, 2, 3, 4 doctors in the house. So I'm going to go around and kind of give them an intro. I'm going to start with the simplest. I've known this guy for a very long time from the wards in the hospital, pediatrics. And he gave me the simplest intro, but one of the best. And so I want to welcome Dr. Leonardo Culmer. He's a husband, he's a father, he's a physician, but most important, the son of the Most High. Welcome, Dr. Culmer, to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I pray you can hear me.
I hope so. Are we hearing him online? Okay, they're telling me to just speak up a bit, so I'm going to try to turn up the volume and try to make that better for our people online. Okay, so Dr. Culmer, let's hear you again.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Testing, testing.
Testing. Okay, they say the sound is kind of funny and kind of low. So if those of you are having problems online, you can catch us on Guardian 96.9, as well as we will be playing the Zoom recording later as well. Also in the house, we have, Dr. Bethel, I didn't see your bio, so I'm going to let you introduce yourself. And then we're going to go to Dr. Prince, who did give me a great bio. Welcome, Dr. Bethel.
Thank you, Dr. Cartwright. I did send it to you on the email. So I didn't send it on WhatsApp. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, no, I'm a family physician. I've been home working in Grand Bahama, where I was born, now for over 20 years. So, and then I've done several fellowships beyond family medicine in integrative cancer therapy, non-surgical sports medicine, and regenerative medicine, anti-aging and regenerative medicine. So basically, I just summarize all that up because it's such a catch bag. To me, it all makes a sequential sense, but I just basically say it's integrative medicine. I'm just trying to integrate the best of all the areas of medicine and come up with the best uber protective approach to medicine.
Yeah.
Uber preventative.
You've mixed a lot of preventative medicine stuff in there, and I'm all about preventative medicine. So welcome to the show, Dr. Bethel. We've got Thank one you. More doctor with us, Dr. Misty Spencer-Prince. And she is a family physician. We were in the same department together. She went off to do her own thing as well. So she has been working in the Bahamas. It's basically her second home from 1998. And she was working as first with GP, and then, of course, she got her diploma and master's of science postgraduate, and then, of course, her degree in family medicine. She's been working in community education, and she's had over 18 years in the public services and has also been working privately for the past 2 years. She's a certified health coach, and she's also working in integrative health and medicine. And she continues to help persons through lifestyle diseases in a holistic fashion whilst promoting wellness. So, you know, I'm all about wellness here. And so it's great to have you, Dr. Prince, after not seeing you for quite some time. How are you doing?
Right. Thank you so much, Vinotra.
Yeah, so we have quite a arrangement of physicians here with us tonight. We're just going to start off really with kind of our experiences, go into what we were seeing. Some things that we wish we had have seen more of, and what can we do? What can we give advice to our public as we continue to be in this pandemic? I would say for myself, COVID was something that was very unusual. I think we did everything in an unusual manner. I think a lot of the medical community kind of scratched their head at some of the approaches. But because it was a novel type of thing, we kind of wanted to see how it would go. We gave our governments, our leaders, our medical officers kind of leeway to kind of get this sorted out because we really were seeing it for the first time. As data came out for me, I started having maybe slightly differing views on certain things. And over time, I think I've grasped a good idea of what COVID is all about. This viral illness. And I think we can do things better. And we need to open up alternative ways of thinking, doing things, approach, and treatment. So usually when we are dealing with some type of new illness, we want the most things that we can do, not the least things that we can do. And so the very narrow approach is something that I've always had an issue with. So I'm going to start with you, Dr. Culmer, kind of your experience and how you thought about COVID and the process of what you went through with your patients. Turn on your mic, Dr. Culmer. You're muted.
Thank you.
There you go.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. All right. So firstly, I'd just like to thank you for inviting me to be a part of this illustrious panel of individuals. Happy to be here, you know, very grateful to Yahweh for allowing me to be here today and to be a part of this. I'm hoping that the individuals that hear what we have to say are blessed by it. And it does help to clarify some questions that they have and bring some steady direction to the people. I'm presently in Eleuthera and get the opportunity to serve the great nation of Eleuthera. Spanish Wells, Harbor Island, from the north all the way up to the south.
Or you're getting likes online for that. Being in Eleuthera. I mean, they're loving it.
They are in fact a very special set of people, and I think Eleuthera is somewhat of a microcosm of the Bahamas as a whole. We are a brilliant people, and Eleuthera is an example of that. Very humble, but people full of pride for their nation and proud for their God. Interestingly enough, my wife and family decided to move here in March of last year as we partnered up with a really good friend of mine and partnered and be in a business model that we have where we offer medical services to our people. I was born in Eleuthera, born in Nassau, and lived my entire life in Eleuthera until I went off to school. So it was fortuitous for me to come back home and pave the ground. So we got here literally a month before the whole COVID thing struck. We are in Bahamas Wellness here, and we've been serving the people. And like you said, it kind of caught a lot of us off guard initially. But, you know, physicians and nurses and medical practitioners, we are extremely resilient people, flexible people. And if there's one thing about us, we are seekers of the truth, even if it means that it hurts. And so I knew it was going to be somewhat of an uphill battle to get to some level of truth with respect to what it is that's going on here. You know, we're accustomed to viral infections. We've all served in the pediatric wards and the adult medicine emergency wards, and we know what it looks like to have a viral infection. So we all had our preconceived notions as to what it is we'd be dealing with. We were surprised, to be honest, but only for a short period of time until we decided, you know what, we're going to fight this thing. And I think we've done a really good job of fighting, coalescing information, putting together the best breadth and depth of information for our clientele to ensure that they are treated and they are treated swiftly. Long and short of it is what we found here in our practice is that we've established a protocol and procedure to catch our clients literally at day one. So any signs or symptoms that they have, we literally expect that they contact us. And we have emergency numbers literally just for the COVID. 24 hours that you can give us a call if you're having symptoms. And we start our protocol from there. And we've had some tremendous results. Obviously, there were some unfortunate cases that kind of went beyond our ability to save. But, you know, generally speaking, we've had some tremendous results.
That's awesome. And we'll get a little bit into what some of those things are, because I know everybody has slightly different ways of kind of dealing with it. But I know that most of us do go from an immune approach and then different things that we feel that are helpful. Dr. Prince, your experience and what you've been doing as a family physician, integrative medicine doctor.
Okay, good night again, Dr. Cartwright. Thanks for having me on. Interestingly, this whole COVID-19 experience has been a really eye-opening one. I find it coming to test our systems, whether it be our health, our bodies, whether it be our relationships, our own mental health systems, fear, anxiety. So COVID-19 has come to test our systems. And with respect to my own process of thinking, I've, like you, always trying to pursue truth. I have a bunch of questions, and if I don't get them answered reasonably, I question and I keep questioning. And even though in medicine here and across the world, we have been doing a lot of tertiary care as it pertains to COVID-19, as with other diseases, we need to get to prevention. We need to get to prophylaxis. We need to get to early and aggressive treatment. And to me, that made sense in this condition. Why wait until our patients get short of breath and then tell them to come back? It just didn't make sense. So it was out of that, and I'm very thankful for persons like Dr. Bethel, Dr. Kevin Bethel, who's on locally, Dr. Suzanne Williams-Lockhart, and then other doctors that I'm mentored by through social media, interestingly, people like Dr. Mobeen and Dr. DeMello and Dr. Shetty, looking at the international experience. And then from that now, asking questions, does it make medical sense? And then deciding, okay, this is what we're going to do. Because patients know of me, you know, they will say, oh, doc, I'm COVID positive. What do I do? And so that's how things got started. So through telemedicine, largely, that's how I treat my clients. And I am very, very thankful and grateful to God, because at the end of the day, you know, we can prescribe all the medicines on the planet, all the supplements, all the techniques. And if God doesn't allow the body to knit it together, then we fall flat on our faces. And so out of close to 20 patients that I've treated, most of them here and others regionally, they've all lived to date. And so early and aggressive treatment, I think, is key to stemming the tide of COVID-19. And just to leave a message of hope, all is not lost. As you said, Dinutra, there are more than one ways to skin the cat, right? There are more than one ways. Let's be open-minded and then hone in accordingly. So that has been my experience in a nutshell.
Yeah, definitely. That's the way to go. And that's the way I've been looking at it too. I think you've made a great point about hope. Sometimes you hear just so much that's negative. You don't realize that there's the 99.6% that survive, right? So, and a lot of people who do early treatment, immune boosting, lots of other things, and they're surviving. We're only hearing about the less than 1-2% of people who are not doing well and have a multitude of comorbidities and so much other stuff. Dr. Bethel, I'm going to let you open your mic right now, because I know that you've taken a very aggressive approach to this. You're up there in Freeport, Grand Bahama. You've been talking about treatment protocols and starting early and prophylaxis. From the very beginning, you'd be very open with what you were doing and what you were experiencing. What led you to kind of looking and saying, hey, I'm not going to sit back. I'm going to try and do something that will help my patients ahead of time?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, it never even was something that I had to think about. It's just something that I think that, you know, I took an oath to do. If there's something that I know is going to help someone, I'm going to tell them. So, I was fortunate enough that I was working in Latvia doing some contract work in January, first part of February of last year. So it just so happened that one of the owners of the clinic that I was working at had come back from a trip to China. So I came home to the Bahamas already with some experience with COVID. So I had called for an emergency meeting. And your opening question was, what would I wish that I would see different if I could change anything? And I wish that we would have regular meetings in the medical association to discuss what's working, what isn't working, you know, in real time. You know, we can talk about what the research shows and use that to sort of guide, okay, this is what we're going to try next. Mm-hmm. But we need our data as Bahamian people. We need to know what's working for us. And also, it's high pie in the sky to talk about some medicines that are very expensive. I'm not going to name names of medicines, but, you know, that were talked about for being used. And it's really not, we have to chart our own path. And I was very disappointed that never happened. Never happened. And still to this day, I call for meetings both in the Medical Association of the Bahamas and the Grand Bahama Medical Dental Association, and I don't see that happen. It's almost like we're banned from associating. We're banned from being able to talk with each other as physicians. And I hear other physicians saying that all the time. You know, they agree, but yet nothing seems to change, you know. And
We talked about this when we talked prior to this show, and I agree with you. I really expected that there would be this rallying of the troops in which they got all the minds together and said, you know, what are we going to do? How do we plan this out? What is our strategy? And then it would be a constant thing where we are all participating, especially
in something
so novel. It was very unusual that it was very kind of closed off and kind of like, okay, these are kind of like what we're going to do. And then it was just kind of silence and all of this was happening. Did you guys also feel like that was a part of the experience? I'm sure, you know, do you think that we would have been a lot stronger if we as a community were bound by, I guess, at least some of the mainstream organizations? Because, you know, we do have our smaller groups. We are talking, you know, here and there. But would you like to have seen that collectively kind of come together and just kind of integrated so that, you know, there were more voices, more people at the table, and we could really kind of discuss what was going on and what we were experiencing?
Yes, I would agree, because, you know, together we are a force to reckon with, divided we fall. And so if we are divided as an association, or I should say as a medical community, okay, you know, then how can people look up for counsel? Persons are looking up to the medical community for guidance. And guidance is beyond just to vaccinate. There are other things that can be done as well. Let's promote that. But the plural tone to voices is what I think has been lacking. And it's not just locally, but it's worldwide. You see, I listened to Dr. Peter McCullough, who is a practitioner in Texas, well-decorated internist, researcher, and I am not sure if he's a cardiologist as well. And he too spoke to Senate saying, hello, let us as a community band together, come up with some protocols for early outpatient management. So this is not just a local Bahamian issue. This is global. And then that in itself raises questions. Why? Why as a global body? We are having problems coming together to provide care for people and not just waiting until the end stage for hospitalization.
Yep. Dr. Kummer, do you have any thoughts on that before we kind of move on to maybe some key things for the beginning of treatment?
Yeah. You know, you said it earlier, which was, and I think I alluded to it, that we were caught off guard, the whole community. There may have been some persons around the world that had some foreknowledge, but there weren't many. The reality is that the majority of us, physicians, nurses, we were caught off guard. And it takes a while for a group such as ours, who never really and truly had that fully knitted mechanism, to kind of get together, even under such circumstances. But I don't think all is lost. I think we are really in a phase now that I like to call the catch up and win phase. We have unfortunately lost some people, but right now I think we still can win. And what you are doing tonight is the beginning of that. And I pray that as we continue in this conversation, it'll be brought to bear how it is the beginning. So I think we're going to catch up and win. We just got to continue to push and to believe.
I definitely think that is the truth. I think this was a great time to do it. We've kind of let things play out in a sense. We've all contributed to what was proposed to be done. We've all been able to look at the data that's coming out and have the type of information to back alternative ways of doing things. I think this is a great opportunity now. As we can see, we're going into third and fourth waves with this COVID. And I think everyone is crying for something different. Dr. Bethel, what was one of the key things that you were doing early with your patients that you found was maybe the most effective for you?
Well, very early. See, I like Dr. Comer was saying, I was a big advocate not only for treatment, but using treatment as a way to, you know, in contact tracing. I mean, don't just treat the person that's actually sick with COVID. Recognize that there's an incubation period, And while the other people in the household may not yet have symptoms, give them a week, it's going to happen, right? So let's treat them now. So one of the things I did right from the beginning was recognize that we have to use a treatment strategy of disease control. And that treatment has changed, but there are some cores that have not changed. Vitamin D has been a core because it keeps people from, the main thing that it's doing with COVID is keeping people from entering into that third phase. When they go through the incubation phase, then they go through the acute phase, which is about 1 week. And sometimes people feel like they're getting better after that acute phase. And then that 1 week later, it comes back. And that's when they go into cytokine storm, immune dysregulation. There's different words for it, but that's what's happening. Their immune system goes haywire. They start getting little micro blood clots forming in all the different organs of their body, particularly in the lungs, as well as the mucus in the lungs. And they crash, just to put it quite simple. And we're seeing that definitely now with this variant that is circulating now. So one of the things I did was make sure that I do the contact tracing, find out how many people are in the household, including employees that would have come into the household, because when we're in our house, our defenses are down. We're not wearing our masks, we're sitting at the dinner table, having long conversations, et cetera, et cetera. So that's where it's going to spread. So less so than at work, although certainly it can spread anywhere, but but I did that for the other thing I did too, is I contacted individual businesses, not just in Grand Bahama, but wherever they would listen, church groups also. And I said, okay, this is what we can do for people. We're going to put you on a preventative protocol, which is quite simple: vitamin D, zinc, and quercetin. All right. So quercetin is a molecule that has similar properties to the hydroxychloroquine, which is prescription. So I was kind of reserving those prescription things for people that are actually sick, but there's things that they could do right away to help prevent them from getting as sick or even catching it at all. And that strategy really was working, because as I treated many, many, many families, I began to notice that the sentinel case in the family was the only case. It didn't spread. Mm-hmm. And so I knew I was onto something, and I'm just beating that drum. And I said, hey, we got to look at this. We really have to look at this. I would present data from studies from PubMed and lots of to support what I was saying, but I was just like, I know it's working, so I'm not going to stop. I'm just going to keep going, because I know that I'm helping people, and I'm certainly not doing any harm, right, with those measures, definitely not. So I couldn't understand the reluctance to basically make this, a national policy, where when disease surveillance identifies an outbreak, treat everybody with, at a minimum, those three things that I mentioned. There are lots of other things, and I laid out a strategy. Strategies that intervene with the virus at many, many, many levels. And we, depending on our access to those other things, we could utilize those. Some of them are prescription, but a lot of them are also nutrients, nutraceuticals that we can get over the counter without a prescription. So that's what I did initially.
Yeah, definitely. And for me, I told a lot of people too, sun, sand, and sea, that's your number one source of vitamin D right there. And for some reason, they wanted us all inside. I couldn't understand that. I was like, this is the time to be out on the beach catching the sun. Yeah. Even, in ancient days, they had an idea that the sun, the vitamin D in your body was very helpful with viral illnesses. And when they couldn't do anything else for people, they would put them out in the sun at the bare minimum. So just starting with those kind of core things are super, super important. The science behind viruses has not changed. And so we know that definitely boosting your immune system is important. I like to add some vitamin C inside there as well. And quite a few protocols in the U.S. in the hospitals, they were actually using the IV vitamin C in their protocols, which is something I recommended early. And two, it just kind of went over, but waiting for people to get very, very sick and then having to treat them in hospital, and knowing that the ventilators, once you're on a ventilator, 78, 80% chance of not making it. So just prevention. Dr. Prince, what was the kind of your go-to that you feel like was helpful in you helping your patients kind of get through this?
Well, you know, interestingly, Dr. Bethel, I wanted to add to what you were saying. So in addition, for me, the same kind of thing, the zinc, 25 to 50 milligrams once a day, especially if they're hypertensive, they're older, and they're on an antihypertensive medicine, like an ACE inhibitor of that class, or, you know, or so, they need extra zinc. So that was a biggie. And zinc's twin, I call him quercetin, 500 milligrams twice a day, again, as Doc said, over the counter. And then, of course, vitamin D3. I'm a huge fan now of vitamin D3. The few times I've been able to check person's vitamin D3 levels prior to COVID in office, most persons have low levels. Most persons don't have enough vitamin D3. And these are young people. These are persons of darker skin. These are people who would be otherwise, you know, be okay. So I know generally that I suspect, I should say, that a lot of us, even though we're out in the sun, though we are darker skinned, we don't have enough vitamin D3. So taking an oral supplementation, at least 5,000 units a day, at least minimum, was key. But I'd also like to add, and of course, vitamin C, 250 to 500 milligrams every 6 hours, because your body can't absorb generally more than 250 to 500 milligrams at a time. But in addition, I also advocated that persons drink water, basic stuff. Okay, there are different guidelines. Drink water until your urine becomes clear. There's a guideline of half of your weight in pounds. Drink that in ounces a day. You know, the idea is to get the water in. Kick out the processed foods. Kick out the sugary foods. Kick out the sodas, you know, and get the water, Adam's ale, in. The other thing was eating more veggies. Generally, as a people, we don't have problems eating fruit. That's a no-brainer because it's sweet. But vegetables in particular, the dark green leafy veggies, the spinach and the kale, the spring mix, unless you're on certain medications, outside of that, eat your veggies. You don't like to eat it? Okay, put it in a smoothie. Let's get practical, right? Let's get your veggie intake in. These are vegetables are high in phytonutrients and so forth, which we need to fight off disease, right? They're high in glutathione, you know, the energy maker of for our cells. So let's get more of that in. The other thing was sleep. That was a big thing for me guiding my patients. You need to get at least 7 hours sleep. If you're looking at blue zone areas, places in the world where people live really long, in common, all of those people generally slept for at least 7 hours. And the sleep that you get before midnight is doubly restorative and reparative than the sleep that you get after midnight. So try and get your downtime starting before midnight. 10, 10:30, latest generally as a pattern. All right. Those are the kind of big things. And of course, exercise. Get out there, walk. In lockdown time, just stand in front of your house. If you have to march, do your deep breathing. Practice all these things. Don't wait until you get sick with COVID and then trying to scramble. If we would all, and these are easy, no-brainer practices, minimal money that is required that can make us healthier. So if COVID should come on our doorsteps, we're able to fight more aggressively and win up front. So those are some of the basic techniques and guidelines that I gave my clients.
Yeah. So obesity, very big, as we know, as one of the risk factors for COVID and getting critical COVID. You know, so that is definitely it. That whole around, the all-around healthy lifestyle. To get around the vitamin C, that's why I give it IV as well as glutathione IV. So I do that. IV, a way to kind of get around, you know, the absorption issues that some people might have. Dr. Comer, you look like you was ready to chime in. You say you guys have your protocol ready as well. what was kind of your number one thing that you really wanted to get in there for people to kind of know from your side as something alternative that they can do to just get themselves in a better position?
Well, you know, thank you for asking. Excellent question. We had a bit of an advantage here at Bahamas Wellness in Eleuthera in that, you know, we completely focus on wellness and we take that as seriously as you can imagine. The Bahamas has a culture that, you know, we are addicted to sugar. We're addicted to sugar. And in Bahamas Wellness, we completely focus on that lifestyle change and what one requires in order for he or she to become healthy. Of course, the protocols that you guys went over, we did and do still all of that with some additions. But the focus really, and where we find that we're getting the best results, is by optimizing the immunity of the individuals. And of course, that's by focusing on cellular health. You know, getting them to the place where their insulin levels are down, their weight is down, and ensuring that they are eating healthy, staying away from the sugars. And as you know, the question that's asked is, Dr. Culmer, Dr. Lightburn, can I do the brown sugar or the purple sugar? I know I can't do the white, but what about the gray sugar? Mm-hmm. And so we got all of the, you know, and so we're consistently pounding it home. And what we found is that there are certain categories of patients that, you know, they had to fly out, that we couldn't help. But that was a minuscule number of individuals. Those that we caught, as Dr. Bethel alluded to earlier, and Dr. Prince, that were mild to moderate, that follow the advice of literally no carbs, staying away from the carbs, literally. And of course, that's a 30-minute conversation because that doesn't calculate well. Exercising, getting out in the sun. And Dr. Prince, you made a very interesting point, and I think it's something that we do need to discuss, because one of the parts of the lockdown that kind of inhibited some of what our clients were supposed to do was the fact that we were to stay in the home, and it made it a bit difficult. But we asked folk to slip outside, do what you got to do, catch that sunshine, get that vitamin D, and go from there. You know, we focusing on the education and that the lifestyle change and adding the regime, we found that if I were to just throw out a number conservatively, maybe more than 90 to 95% of our clients did very well.
You've got a lot of fans online, Dr. Prince, but we have Claudette Grant saying, I do believe in supplements rather than the vaccine. She's saying, also, I agree with Dr. Prince. And someone mentioned dairy, removing dairy from the diet. So I thought too that this was a really good time with the entire community kind of honed into the medical community to really push patient education on healthy lifestyle and everything. This was an opportune time. I think we missed it a little bit late, but like you say, Dr. Culmer, we still have that opportunity to get people on board doing the things that they need to do to protect themselves. They brought up the vaccine. You know, we have been kind of like nothing alternative, just do the vaccine. I know some of you may be vaccinated, some may not be vaccinated. People are kind of cautious, you know, Bahamians want to wait and see what's going on. I don't know, thoughts. To me, my biggest thought is there should be a choice. People should be allowed to choose. And we should provide the information that they can make the best choice ever. Dr. Bethel, I know you've even kind of dealt with COVID personally. So we'll start with you, just kind of your kind of thoughts and how you're dealing with that with your patients.
Well, the first thing that I pointed out, and it's not just here, it's again, it's worldwide, is that there is a total lack of recognition of the people that have survived COVID and have some level of immunity. So right from the get-go, you know, why, I've said this so many times, if we have a limited resources of a valuable thing like a vaccine, why would we waste it on someone who's already immune because they've already survived COVID, right? But that thinking just was not even entertained. It was, and as a matter of fact, just bringing up that subject, you know, was almost
might
like...
Might get you banned. And that was a strange thing that when you brought up medical facts, you could actually be banned on certain social media services, which I also thought was extremely odd. Why would you ban that? You know, you might have different opinions on it, but... why ban that?
Yeah, I don't know. So that, you know, that's an interesting thing. And then there was the concern that that we would see a failure of the vaccine working. I went through some of the science of it before as to why we would likely see that. And now we're seeing that. Mm-hmm. We're seeing a lot.
Yes.
A lot of people, and I'm saying seeing it in clinically here, not just from reports internationally, but we will reference, you know, the CDC itself has admitted that people who have been vaccinated are just as likely to catch it and spread it. They may not be as likely to get deathly ill or hospitalized because the vaccine is imparting some level of protection. But the point that concerns me is that when we make statements like the pandemic is over for the vaccinated, what ends up happening is that we've given a get out of jail card free to a certain class of people, and then others aren't given those sort of privileges. But the dangerous thing is that those people that are vaccinated refuse to believe, because they're not getting the correct information, they refuse to believe that they can catch COVID and they can get sick from COVID. And more importantly, they can spread COVID. So, and they have that get out of jail free card. So they go and they spread it. And I've seen it so many times. I've seen it so many times where people, families have, you know, they just refuse to believe that it's possible that they have COVID and they're sick from COVID because they got vaccinated. But now I treat everybody. So if I tell them, everybody in the house gets treatment, whether you're vaccinated or even if you're a previous COVID survivor, because I am seeing people that are getting COVID for the second time.
Yeah, so definitely I agree with you. And it's quite clear now, the studies are showing it, people with the vaccine are getting COVID. I don't know if you guys have looked at the studies that are coming out of Israel about Pfizer and the efficacy basically dropping from what they said was 90-something percent to 64%. And now with the Delta variant here, we're back into the 30s. So we're getting pretty low in what we call efficacy. And it's clear that there's transmission. And also what you mentioned earlier about we refuse to recognize the immunity of persons who have had COVID in the past. And we're now seeing studies coming out too that they're, you know, they might just be comparable or even more so than persons that are vaccinated. And so that is something that we ignored. Dr. Prince, you look like you really want to chime in there.
Man, listen, you know, basic. I agree with you. There is that population for which vaccination may have its place. High risk population.
High risk, yeah.
Okay. Have we vaccinated all the high-risk people on the planet? What's the answer? No. Why not push to get those people vaccinated first? Because if our ultimate goal is in saving lives, let's give them the best chance to have life saved. The younger persons who do not have as the risk factors, teenagers, why should we promote vaccination in them when the higher risk persons on the planet all have not been vaccinated? You see, it's an issue of, to me, medical common sense.
Yes.
Equity, right? This whole thing shows up social injustice. You know, these vials have been with us for centuries, for years. If we are so interested in the welfare of our peoples as a global community, let's fix the injustices upon which these inequities are now placed. To me, that makes more sense. And why not let's do as Dr. Colmer and Dr. Bethel is doing, increase our innate immunity. Because, you know, the studies do suggest that today we have a Delta variant. Well, yesterday we had one. Today we have a Delta. Tomorrow we're going to have, what's the next letter in the alphabet? That one, right? Are we going to vaccinate against each variant? Because you could see the trajectory. It's a third booster, a second booster, a third booster, a fourth. Why not promote the innate immune system? I'm not saying don't have your boosters, but we can't depend on it, you see? Yep. And so to me, medical common sense is the it.
It seems like even medical common sense ain't common these days. They've moved to a third booster in Israel after seeing a decline in efficacy of the Pfizer. And so they had gotten almost their entire population vaccinated, saw the numbers going back up again. And so they are actually starting a third booster in persons with a low immune system. And so they've started vaccinating some of their elderly patients who are high risk with a third vaccine. Dr. Colmer, I saw you, you're taken aback there for a moment.
So if the question is about the vaccine, you know, medicine is fairly simple, right? It is our job to be educated about these areas and to disseminate information to our clientele. Simple. And what we do here as a practice is we, once asked, we sit and counsel our clients on the pros and cons of the vaccine. We don't tell anyone not to take it. We don't really guide anybody to take it. And you find that a number of people come in with their minds made up already about whether or not they're going to take it. They really just want your weighted opinion. As a matter of fact, I did a personal friend of mine and my wife's Zoomed us about two nights ago, I think, for about an hour and a half, just talking about the different vaccines. And we just gave them the straightforward information. And really and truly, that's what you do. The concern that I have is what everyone else has already said, so I don't want to prolong it, but I think it needs to be crystallized that we have been presented with a problem global, and we are presented with a solution, irrespective of who presented the solution. But there appears to be a deficit from the perspective of identifying that you do, in fact, have a really robust immune system. And the immune system itself, whether you get vaccinated or not, the immune system itself still needs to be harnessed to its most robust that it can be, whether you are vaccinated or not. Dr. Bethel has given examples. I have a number of examples of it. I've just seen a couple of videos on some numbers coming out of Illinois with respect to persons that have been vaccinated. And of course, we can go into the epidemiology of, you know, because it's broad strokes what they put on the news. We never know the smaller details. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, if you have the vaccine, you still need to ensure that your immune system is strong. If you've been informed, consented, and you decided not to have it, we still need to teach you. Let's build up this immune system. One of my concerns is that there's a bit of vaccine confidence that's misplaced. That vaccine confidence is a bit misplaced, particularly because we are using the platforms that we have not to push building immunity. whether that includes vaccines, because it's a choice, or not, the basis of what we're doing is, as physicians, we are going to teach you how to build your immunity. And in your case, Mrs. Jones, that means you decided to take the vaccine, but you're going to build your immunity and take the vaccine. Mr. Johnson has said, no, he's not going to do it. We're going to give him all the information, show him the sites as much as we can, but we're still going to help him build his immunity. I don't think that that's complex. I think that's fairly simple. And I think that we owe it to our patients to do what we pledge to do, which is take care of them to the best of our ability.
I think you said it really well, Dr. Comer, and I totally agree. And why I really wanted to bring it out too is because I was seeing a lot of negative connotation towards people who were not taking the vaccine. And I think that this is something, it's a personal choice. You don't know everybody's particular, what they're going through, what thoughts are through their head, what information and how they took that in. And so as physicians, we have to give people options. And I think the vaccine is just one of the tools, and present those tools, but present all the tools and give people a really well-rounded way of dealing with this pandemic.
That whole thing of what you spoke to earlier, apologies. I have to say this. As physicians, that is well beyond us. We don't have any authority to compel anyone to do anything. We are supposed to lay the information out there to them and advise them what we think is the best information. Now we're talking about this whole idea of compelling people. That's well beyond us. We are servants of the people. This compulsion and compelling, that is actually not even democratic. That's something that happens in a socialistic society. And so we have to be very careful about how we present that to people. And I'm certain others have a different perspective, but this is mine personally.
So definitely, I believe in a democratic society, and I think people should be allowed to make informed decisions. We as a medical community should be there to support those decisions and help people through any kind of illness that they may encounter and how to make that better and the experience better, and hopefully getting through people through the pandemic and so that they do well and have the best outcomes. Dr. Bethels, your kind of thoughts with this, the way that, some of this is going in terms of a side of the community kind of saying, hey, we need you to do X, Y, and Z. How do we get back as a community to saying, back to the business of medicine, doing no harm, giving people evidence, educating them and treating them?
Well, I think it's a missed opportunity. Again, I think of the example of, say, when a celebrity has a particular health issue and that celebrity comes out and does some sort of public service announcement. And then all of a sudden we see in our office a lot of people that are very concerned because, hey, I have similar family history or symptoms or whatever the issue is that makes them feel. So it brings awareness to the particular disease state. And it's a golden opportunity to try and get people to improve their health, because you give them the information and tell them that, look, even for things like, I call it the Angelina Jolie syndrome, even for things where there is a so-called genetic predisposition for a certain cancer, and you might have that cancer in your family, but look, it's like a library, of books, and unless you actually take out a book and read it, it's not going to be expressed. So there are ways to make sure that we only express the genetic potential that we want, and that's through good, healthy lifestyle, diet, exercise, good sleep, breathing exercises are very important. So all of these things are golden opportunities, and we've missed that. It's shocking to those of us that are in wellness medicine and preventative medicine, because no matter what the issue is, when someone comes in, we're supposed to take the opportunity to try and get that person to improve their health, their outcome, help them to optimize their potential. Not to minimize it and frighten them. Fear is a terrible thing, you know. So you know, right from the beginning, you know, most of us here on this panel, we were trying to impart hope. No, there is something that you can do, you know, and something that you can do, like personally, not something that the doctor can do. But mm-hmm. So much of the way that this whole thing was managed was there's nothing that you can do. There's actually nothing that your family doctor can do, but there is something we can do in the hospital, which is, I don't know, put you on a ventilator. So hide until you need the ventilator. And that just blew my mind. I was like, well, wait a minute. This is a golden opportunity to try and get people to improve their health. And that's another one on my wish list that I would have liked to have seen happen. I wish that our decision makers would have seen this as a golden opportunity to try and improve our national health. We have too much obesity and too much carbohydrate dependence, you know, in this country. And it's a big battle, but when we start to explain that it's going to increase your risk of, with this particular situation with COVID, it's going to increase your risk of having a terrible outcome, you know, and that's something that you can change, not the hospital, not your family doctor, nobody. That's only you can change that. And there's so many missed opportunities, you know, I see along the way here. And I think that we can catch up. It's never too late, you know, until, you know, the opera is not over until the fat lady sings, as they say, right? You know, and we're watching the Olympics. It's not over until they cross that finish line. Anything can happen. You know,
yeah, we'll see. You made a great point about fear. I saw so much fear. And you know, initially, I guess everybody was a little afraid. I wasn't really extremely fearful, but I was fearful of all the fear I was seeing. Because yes. you even had people who was like, I caught like COVID, but I'm still afraid. You know, people, they get the vaccine, I'm still afraid. So I think, you know, that fear, we have to calm some of that fear, because people don't do well with fear. It's a very stressful position. It's not good for your immune system. And so I think as clear heads, as physicians and scientists, most times we've done the work already. And so when we come to the community, we can kind of dispel their fears. This time we saw where the fear was being brought to people, almost kind of like you couldn't hide from it. And I think that was even probably negatively impacting some of our outcomes. Dr. Prince, I see you nodding. So your thoughts on that?
Definitely. I definitely agree with that. From the get-go, when I have my clients, the first foundational thing I tell them is listen, and listen well. You are going to live and you are not going to die. And I cite to them that statistic that over 98%, okay, so I give a little leeway just in case, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. 98%, I use 98, of persons who get this condition live, and you are going to be in that 98%. And I tell them up front, you see the fear? You need to take that out of your mind, because as you just said, fear is crippling. Fear increases the stress response. Fear increases cortisol. Fear causes flight and fright response, right? You cannot rest and repair while you're fighting and flying, you know, or in fright, right? If for you to get over this thing, you need to be in a rest and restorative mood. That is the opposite of fear. So speaking to the fear is key to me in the early treatment of COVID, as well as in the prophylactic measures of COVID. Dr. Bethel, you said you empower your people, right? You empower your people. People need to have hope and be empowered. And that is what this is all about today. The other thing that comes to mind, it just slipped my mind, according to fear. Oh, it just slipped me. But yeah, that is what I wanted to say. Fear is we have to address it up front. Oh, the other thing was that making an informed choice on whether to vaccinate or not. as was said before, fear, I see it from afar, and fear was a driver for vaccination. If you don't take this vaccine, you're going to die. If you don't do this, you're going to die. Right? Allow information, and not just your side of the information. Allow holistic information to be presented to the people, and then let the people decide. So they make a decision, not out of fear, but out of fact, out of information, out of weighing things for themselves, weighing their risk, and then let them decide. And I think that has been a real pet peeve for me, lopsided information. No, let's have the buffet and let the people choose. Let them be responsible. Okay, yes, I know it's a pandemic that is affecting the world, and whether or not one vaccinates or not, that may have consequences on other people's, but that does not mean that you take away the power to choose from your people. Allow the information that you feed them to be a general pot, not what you want them to hear and therefore decide out of fear. And that can't work. You're not going to build anything that lasts with that.
And as you know, because we're both family physicians, and we do a patient-centered approach where we really try to provide our patients with the information to be involved in their health, to be actively motivated to participate rather than being dictated to. So that's already a part of our training and the way that I look at it. And I think I took this into the way that I looked at this pandemic as well. You know, how do we get that information out there? How do we remove those elements of fear so that people can make level-headed decisions? I see your hand up, Dr. Bethel. You look like you want to jump in.
Just really quick, because there's an aspect of fear and the adrenaline response that is overlooked. We always talk about the fight or flight, but equal to that, there's the submit and obey reflex. See, so, you know, most people know about the fight or flight reflex, you know, to something that's fearful. But the other one is, think about it. A bear jumps out of you while you're hiking in the woods. You have two choices. If you think you can outrun this bear, you'll try, you know, fight or flight. But the other one is play dead, to lay down and literally play dead. And I think, this is my opinion, but the fear that's being propagated by our leaders, by our news media and stuff in general, is for the purpose of submit and obey. It is literally that. And people don't realize that, but that is a reflex, just as powerful, because guess what? Even if you try to outrun that bear that's chasing you down the path and you're hiking, you realize at some point that you're exhausted. You're not going to outrun this bear. Again, you submit and you obey. And you just ball up into a ball and just play dead and hope that the bear, you know, takes a bite out of you and decides that you don't taste good. So and this is a reflex. We do not even make that conscious decision. And I don't think that people are making the conscious decision that's being manipulated to submit and obey. Fear is being used not to fight or flight. They don't want that response, because people would be in the streets demanding, you know, the change from what's been happening now for 18 months. And that's happening in other parts of the world. People are getting to that point, but it's been purposely orchestrated to elicit the submit and obey reflex.
Yeah.
Which is a medical thing.
And what we need is people thinking about their health and doing what's right for them. Any final comments on this particular segment before Dr. Coleman, before I kind of open the lines and see if anyone wants to join in with us?
Yeah, you know, fear is an interesting topic, you know, but the scripture says, I will fear no evil. And it's something that, well, let me finish that, because I know there's some people who don't remember the rest of it. He says, because thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, it comforts me. You prepare the table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. So fear is an interesting thing, but when you have your trust in someone that is greater than what's being presented to you, all is always well, you know, all is always well. And it's going to come in so many different forms and so many different ways. I said to a client the other day, I said, because she got very fearful. I said, you've been on a plane, right? She said, yes. I said, who on the plane, if they respond fearfully, is going to make you fearful? She said, well, the pilot and the flight attendant. I said, right. I said, you should depend on the people like the physician and the nurse to be your pilot, to be your flight attendant. And I think it's important for us to take control of the narrative like we're doing tonight and promote fearlessness. Because when I was being attacked in high school by a group of guys, I could have just, like he says, stayed in fear and just literally died, let them do what they were doing. But I decided to fight back. So that's what we're doing today. It's that or die for our community. And we're not going to sit here and die. We're going to do what is the right thing to do to protect ourselves, to protect our clients, to protect our loved ones, and have the eye of the tiger while we're doing it.
Very awesome. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, if anyone wants to join in. Someone says, Vanessa Colby, what you doctors are sharing here should be coming from the public health. They have dropped the ball. Facts, Dr. Calmer, immune system needs to be boosted even if you take the vaccine. So people are definitely agreeing and watching. And yes, I think what people miss is even in medicine, there is a spiritual aspect to healing. It's a part of the holistic approach, whether you're Christian or whatever it is, having a faith that something will get you through or that you will make it through something does improve your chances. As we see with cancer patients, they tend to do well if they have something else to hold on to guide them through or make them feel like they are going to do well. Mental health is extremely important in the way that our body deals with health. So those things are important. So just again, if anyone wants has a question, okay, we do have a call. Caller, you're on.
Dr. D.
Hi.
Hello. Good night, Dr. D.
It's got to be short and to the point tonight.
All right, and good night to your panel. I should change your name to Dr. Truth. I love your panel, all right? And so they should know my voice by now. And so I like talking to the pundits, right? That's the only way to get some credence here. Now, you know, Dr. D, I want to touch on some things and just to augment what they were saying, right? So no one, you know, I know that the science is vast and no one could remember everything at one point in time. So what I did was I listened to Dr. Shane Crotty, right? And so everybody should know who he is, right? And so what happened is in this study, there was shown to be the vitamin D3. You know, the sunlight is needed, like he said, but it actually works in conjunction with the cholesterol that's underneath the skin. And so what happens is they show that the vitamin D is actually impedes the cytokine storm or the hypocytokinemic storm as a result of the interferon. So what they show is high levels of vitamin D, you get more interferon, right, to interfere with the inflammation from the COVID vaccine itself. I mean, from the COVID virus itself. These are facts, all right? So vitamin D, we know that vitamin D activates the receptors on the white blood cell walls, right? These are studies, you know, so I don't know if you guys know this, but this is not to be just, you know, showed out information over here. This is the role of vitamin D, but you can just Google the role that vitamin D plays in the immune system. And so, Dr. D, also the fact that I heard the doctor mention, we know the vax and the unvax. So we know about the long-term T-cell immunity. So the fact that I'm unvaxxed and I'm asymptomatic, that means I'm less likely to transmit the disease. So if a person is vaxxed and they're not symptomatic, they are less likely to transmit the disease because they're not sneezing and coughing, and this is the way for the virus to spread itself. These are the things that I know. You agree or not, this is what it is. And so the information, the science at best, is the narratives are being changed. I saw where three people in New York had to carry the hospital to court in order to get the doctor to treat them with ivermectin. There's the gentleman almost on his death, dying, start taking the ivermectin, which was the treatment, recovery, and then so people did it subsequently where they had to use the court for them to be prescribed ivermectin, and also fluvoxamine, and they have other, like hydroxychloroquine, they have other treatments that work, right, that they know work. but because they're censoring the information and the narrative and controlling the doctors, them here we have this problem. You know, they're not talking about antiviral herbs also. So the information is being suppressed. And so since you was talking about vitamin D, I agree with the doctor because we're inside more. But I realize when I sit in the sun, I actually feel better and feel more energetic within itself. Anyone who plays sports or go in the sun and weed and do different yard work, you find out that when you come out of the sun and you catch a shower, you'll be energized all day. So this is actually something that I observe. And so the fact that I have proven that mask wearing is effective with the fact that my little daughter attended preschool and she did not contract any flu or any cough during this time with the mask wearing. I was surprised because even before the pandemic, every few weeks she would come down with a cough or something from some other children. So life is based on our observation. And also, Dr. D, I noticed you said something, and when you was talking, it brought my mind up to relative risk reduction as far as the efficacy of the vaccine. You, for next week for me, could you please come on and explain to the Bahamian sheep the relative risk reduction versus absolute risk reduction? I was trying to get them to realize it for a little while. Also, please explain the PCR test in detail to these jokers, please, because I appreciate what you guys are doing. Thanks for taking my call, but if I have to die and walk over people that bring the truth out, then that's what it may be. But, like, they say Google, what they call it? Google exploit? You know Google exploit because Google already know my algorithms. When I, you know, I Googled the advantages and disadvantages of recombined vaccine technology. You see, Google only enhanced my knowledge, this ever being in my head, and I never stopped learning. That's the point. And so I'm an enthusiast, and you guys are professionals. But don't tell me what I'm saying is incorrect, because everybody knows who Dr. Shane Crotty is, and everybody could go on the Food and Drug Administration website, the CDC website, and see their parameters for you for the usage of emergency authorized drugs. You must put the information of the side effects on the drug being dispensed. They're not doing that with the vaccine. This information is only on their website. They're not giving the people this information.
Okay, thank you. A lot of comments coming in. They're loving the show. They're loving the guests. You know, someone asked D3. They're talking about vitamin D. So, yes, and I did talk about PCR very early in this. So many of you may know my thoughts on PCR. I went through strategically what PCR was is usually used for, how we were using it inside the in terms of the respect for COVID. And as you can see, the CDC has had changing thoughts on PCR and the way it's being used, and are pushing for additional and alternative tests to be able to test for the Delta and other things. So that information is all coming out. We have any response quickly? We do have another caller. I think he said a mouthful. He hit on a lot of things we were saying. So caller, new caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, good night. How y'all doing?
We're good, thanks.
Wonderful. You know, what I'm doing, I'm 65, will be 66 in October. I take a lot of the fevergrass, guava leaf, moringa, the pear leaf, ginger, turmeric, sea moss. Don't drink sodas, don't drink white milk. No sugar at all. The only animal thing I take in my body is eggs. And so I do a lot of running because I'm a marathon runner. I still need to bring you that soup I cooked. But I'm doing well. Like I said, at the age of 65, I'm much stronger than I was at the age of 50. And I'm taking care of my immune system, you know, by drinking, like you said, water, no canned juice, nothing like that. And so I don't know what you think about those things I call off, you know, all the bush tea and all of that.
Yeah, thank you, caller. Yes, so I believe in some of our natural stuff. I just don't think you should take them, like, don't overdo it. Bahamas tend to go a little overdoing with things, and it can affect your kidney and everything. So speak with your doctor about it, definitely. And there are some great things out there in our natural environment that helps. Dr. Prince, yes.
Yeah, that's a lovely area for me. I'm just totally intrigued by it. And I'll say that there is good and there is harm. A lot of it needs to be fully and properly studied. However, it does not negate the benefit that can come to it, especially if it's used in a short-term kind of basis. As I said, because it's not properly studied, I can't tell you boil 3 leaves, boil 5 leaves, you know, 1 cup of water, 3 cups of water, you know, it's just so much subjectivity in there. But having said that, there is no denying that, for example, fever grass or lemongrass is high in vitamin C and zinc. Sarasi, which I used to laugh at when patients would come in and say, oh, doc, I just drank me a cup of Sarasi.
You don't know about that good Bahamian Sarasi? Take a cup every summer, listen, when you say to your grandparents, you know?
Listen, I used to look down on that until I myself was reminded, because I was going through some sinusitis way before COVID. I've had my run with antibiotics that helped me, but again, overdid it, and I had a colitis, and here I was getting the usual December, January, flu-y sinusitic symptoms, and the thought came back, what about that Sarasi there? So I decided, let me go pick some. I pick it, I boil it, and I drank it, and no lie, within 2 hours, the feverish feel that I had, I started to sweat. And I felt better. And that for me was the epiphany of really valuing the herbs that we have. As I said, they do need studies. They do need delineation, but there is substance to help. So for example, for my COVID, people fighting COVID, thyme tea. In Europe, the naturopaths use thyme tea. That's a small leaf thyme. And it has been shown to have antibacterial, antiviral, and helps with cough. So yes, I do prescribe the usual expectorants and mucolytics. That is medicine to break up the cold. But along with that, have some thyme tea. Once you're not diabetic, sweeten it with honey. If you're diabetic, use some monk fruit sugar, right, to sweeten it with. Pineapple, right, has bromelain. And bromelain is an agent that helps in the fighting of the inflammatory process. Use your pineapple. Aloe, for example.
Okay, I think we have another caller, and I'm going to let the doctor chime in before we leave.
Okay,
yeah. Caller, you're on the air. Hello? Caller, are you still there?
Yes, hello.
Hi, good night. You're
good
on
night,
the doctor's end with me, Dr. D.
Good night. I want to say hello to your panelists and most of all to my doctor, Dr. Prince. What I wanted to share briefly is the systems we have in this country are failing, right? My wife and I contracted this COVID virus, and we went to the facility that they told us to go to. And, the doctors aren't giving you the pre-treatment or preventative measures, right? They gave me a prescription. They told me to take Claritin, told my wife to take Histal and come back if you get worse. We got worse and came back, and we couldn't even, they wouldn't even see us because they had an emergency going on. And this is when I was referred by a friend to Dr. Prince. And I want to tell you that Dr. Prince saved our lives. Everything, she started treating us aggressively for this virus, and everything that she's been talking about tonight, she has done with us. And every little inch that she explained was going to happen and we were going to experience, my wife and I experienced it in the same way as we got better. So I'm telling you, I don't know why, like Dr. Bethel said, that they're not coming together to discuss alternative ways to treat this virus. But it's a shame what's happening. And wait until people get almost on their deathbed. It's too late. It's too late. And I really appreciate the doctors that she was liaison with and the information that she gave. And she put us on that ivermectin, and that was huge in along with the different treatment. Even going outside in the sun, she had a regimen for us, and we're the survivors of that, or those 20 patients that she's talking about. So people that are listening, I want you guys to really pay attention to what these doctors are saying. The information they have is a wealth of knowledge, and it works. So thank you so very much.
Thank you very much, caller, for coming and telling. And people don't know, too, because I also do a post-COVID and post-vaccine regimen as well. Because I find a lot of people having long hauler syndrome and kind of, you know, these long systems of inflammation post, and it's really good if they come in and they get treated afterwards. So I do kind of also focus on that as well. I've had really good results with that. 89-year-old patients and older who are, you know, bouncing back, their family thought, hey, then this is the end. So that's where the hope comes in. I look them in the eye and I tell them, look, your mom, your dad is going to be okay at the end of this, and we can deal with this. I told you guys that the time goes quickly and we're almost done. Dr. Bethel, sum up for us what you want people to take from this and to understand from this conversation. This is an opening conversation. We want our doctors to feel good about what they're doing and work hard for their patients. What do you want people to really get out of this at the end of the day?
Well, what I would really like to see is I'd like to see people speak up for themselves and ask for ivermectin and other medicines. There's a whole bunch of medicines that I didn't even touch on that can be very useful. But ivermectin is widely available. You know, I mean, there was a meta-analysis that was sponsored by the World Health Organization, Tess Laurie. So when she first came out with the results, she was attacked. You would almost think this Tess Laurie was a quack the way that she was attacked. And she's not a quack. She's the head of the Cochrane Institute in the UK, and was put in charge of doing this meta-analysis. And they determined that 62% reduction in mortality just from using ivermectin. All right. Now you say, okay, well, that's for people that are already sick and in the hospital. But we're kind of talking here about trying to not end up getting to that point. So what about there? It was similar. 86% reduction in if you catch them before they're that stage in the hospital, 86% reduction in progression of disease in any fashion. All right. And they measured it and they looked at it and looking at all the risk factors and co-founding factors and stuff like that. There's another very interesting, huge study done in Mexico. They had 77,000 people that they treated with ivermectin compared to 158,000 that didn't get ivermectin. And it was just amazing, the results that they had. And the way that they did it is they have this national testing program where they have these mobile units and they just go and they test people. And anybody that tested positive, they got ivermectin. So you say, where did the comparison go? Well, they had this testing unit going way before they decided that on a national level that they were going to use ivermectin. So that's why the numbers are bigger for the non-treated. They had 150,000 people that they had been tested positive, and they had the data on what happened to those people. And then they initiated everyone who tests positive gets ivermectin. And it was amazing. They found similar results, 76% reduction in progression of illness. So
Ramona Comer online says, it's so great to hear doctors talk about the facts without political agenda. Dr. Prince, in 1 minute, summarize what you want people to take from this tonight and what we kind of discussed together.
Okay, so in 1 minute, hope, be empowered, search for the information, require truth from your leaders, do not settle for anything less, take charge of your health. It is in your hand, not in mine. I have enough to deal with. You have to deal with your health. Make the changes that you've heard of. If you know you're not drinking enough water, drink the water, put down the sodas. What else has to happen for you to make the change to help you? And when you help you, you help your family and those around you and the community and the nation and therefore the world. So let's get going, people.
Dr. Comer, I know it's been a little bit. I know you've got a lot to say. You wrap up. What do you want people to get from this? The people of Eleuthera are loving you, obviously. So what do you want people to get out of this at the end? Sum it up for me.
Well, it takes a certain amount of fortitude to tell the truth. And it takes a certain amount of discernment to know the truth. And for those who are afraid of the truth and would rather take the easy way out, it's going to be difficult for them to discover the realities and the brilliance of what truth brings. Look for the truth for yourself. Seek it out. And don't be afraid of the truth. And seek out persons that are seeking out your best interest. So, you know, as physicians, we have four wonderful physicians on here that we have the capacity to help. And we are willing, we are open, we are available. I know at Bahamas Wellness, we are constantly looking for opportunities to make it better. And put your trust in someone who's bigger than me and all of these doctors here. Put your trust in him. I end on that.
Awesome. Great. I have another comment. Great panel. Great information. The Prime Minister needs to hear this because all he's saying is take the vaccine as it is an easy way out. And I think sometimes we do take the easy way out. We take the information that is pushed to us. It's time for us to think. It's time for us to elevate this conversation. It's time for us to expand and provide alternatives and give people the information they need to make wise decisions, not just for now, but also in the future. Our health is extremely important. Our immune system is one of those building blocks. And as we've discussed today, that is one of the key components to getting through this. And so speak with your doctor. Reach out to one of the doctors in the panel if you don't have a doctor. And get that information, get someone on your team, and really create, you need that hope within yourself that everything's going to be okay. So I think a less fearful nation will make better decisions. Let's just slow down. Let's think about what's happening. Let's do this in a context that's going to be good for the Bahamian people and make better decisions. I want to thank my panel, Dr. Kevin Bethel, Dr. Misty Spencer-Prince, Dr. Leonardo Culmer, for being brave, because some doctors shout it out and say, great job, Archer, but you know, we can sit back and see what happens. But these guys were ready to go. They were ready to express their thoughts. They were ready to give the Bahamian people the truth and the whole truth. And that's extremely important. As medical doctors and scientists, we seek the truth, not a truth, but the truth. And so I want to thank everybody for listening in and being a part of the show. We're back every Tuesday at 7:30. Dr. D. Archer, brought to you by Medical Concierge Services. Give us a call. 1-880. I want to thank everybody. And good night. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
All right,
thank you so much.
Everyone.
Do well.